Proverbs chapter 4. If you want to turn there tonight, we're going to look at that just for a little bit of time as we're allowed this evening. Proverbs chapter 4, and in particular, we want to look at verse 1. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. And we read here together where Psalm says, "Hear my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to know understanding." Again, here we are, another day has come. You know, a day that for me personally I do like. It's a little, you know, it's like my, you know, I get my birthday last month and then I get this month. I kind of get spoiled a little bit. And I've been able to enjoy it on three different capacities, speaking about Emily's and Ophelia and Corrigan. And that's Father's Day. I was joking with my dad yesterday. I was helping him do some work over there at his house. And we were joking. Said, "Well, you know, here's your Father's Day." He was doing some work in the kitchen. "So here's your Father's Day gift. Here's a new cabinet for you. And I'm over here to help you install it." And then we were joking at Home Depot when we were over there getting that. Said, "Well, happy Father's Day. Gallons of paint are on sale. Let's get 4 gallons, start tomorrow." You know, I thought tonight we could just talk about fathers. And we did a Mother's Day sermon last month, and in thinking about this, we're reminded in the Bible about fathers, the role of fathers, and an example of God, our Father. And it's encouraging thoughts for us to consider for a little bit of time this evening. And I want to begin off talking about an example from God our Father. You know, as parents, we do not want our children to fail in life. And as we think about God our Father, He does not want us to fail in our life either. If you go over to 2 Peter chapter 3 with me, and we look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. We consider here for just a moment. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Where says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, in that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You know, as we read in that verse there, we see that God does not want us to fail. He does not want any of us to perish. He does not want any of us to be separated from Him. He does not want any of us to falter and turn away from Him. But as we look there, He doesn't want us to perish, but He wants us all to come to repentance. If you stay there, if you just go one book back to 1 Peter chapter 5. We look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. We see what God wants from us and what God expects from us is to be able to turn to Him, to be able to open our hearts to Him. As we look in verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." We have a compassionate and loving God and Father whose desire is for us to come to Him, who is seeking to care for us and to let us know that He is there. God, as we look, does not want us to fail in sin. But there are conditions with us. As we look there in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God does not want us to fail in sin, but He wants us all to come to repentance. If we want to make change, if we want to turn from sin, we got to repent. We got to turn from it as what God has commanded us. A change that we should be willing and able to make. And that is a change to desire His ways. His ways that lead us to eternal life. Over in Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, we want to look at verses 27 down to verse 31. Acts chapter 17, verse 27 down to verse 31. Acts chapter 17, beginning with verse 27, we'll look down to verse 31. It says here, "So that they should seek the Lord, in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. God wants you and I to change. He doesn't want us to fail. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to not turn to sin, but to make a necessary change in our life. And that is to desire his ways. He's overlooking what we've done in the past.
I'm blessed in many ways with my dad. And you know, one of the things he really doesn't do that I can remember in the 34 years is that, you know, I've made mistakes. I think we can all say we've made mistakes. And think about what my dad does not, and I'll just brag him up a little bit. He'll see it later on here, but he never makes an attempt to try to remind me of the failures that I've had in my life. He doesn't bring up those things to try to put me down. We have a God and Father who is willing to overlook our sin and our neglect, our separation from him, if we are willing to change our life. We read over in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12 that God has said, it's one of the times it's quoted, your sins and your lawless deeds, he says, I will remember no more. We stand before God on the judgment. If we have repented of our sin, he's not going to bring those things back up. He's not going to point out, well, look what you did back then. No, he's going to try to point out, here's what you've done to overcome that. I will overlook those things. I will offer you the hope and promise of eternal life that I've given through the love that I've had for you through my Son, Jesus Christ, in his willingness to die on that cross, and he was risen from the dead. God is willing to overlook. And, you know, as parents, we got to take responsibility, not try to point out all the failures our kids will make. Because, again, we all face those different things. As we think about God our Father, again, God wants us to seek his instruction. And he has provided those things for us in our life. He has given us his word. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 down to verse 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17. Paul writes here, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has given us his work. He has given us understanding. He has given us instruction and correction that we need to make in our life. Again, as we go back to our text that we read at the very beginning in Proverbs 4, verse 1, hear the instruction of your Father. Hear the instruction of God, our Father. Listen to what he has given us. Listen to the instruction that he has indeed offered. Instruction that is pleasing and acceptable to him and our provider of all things. The example that we have through God our Father is that only if we are willing to listen to the instruction, if we're willing to make changes into our life, that we can enter a place and a relationship as being called his children. Over in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. verse 26 down to verse 29. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 down to verse 29. Galatians chapter 3, beginning verse 26. Galatians 3, verse 26 says here, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Notice here it says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." As Paul writes here, he says, you're all sons of God. You're all children of God through faith. And how do we become children of God? As we are baptized in Christ, we have put on Christ, and we see the blessing that comes through that. We receive the instruction from our Father. We respond to that instruction. We act upon that instruction. And being baptized, we were talking this morning, that's not a custom or truth. That's a command. We become children of God. Become adopted children of God. And if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and you're heirs according to the promise. We're to be imitators of God as dear children, as we read over in Ephesians 5 and verse 1. We're to imitate, you know, as children do. I know I did it. I know my kids, they want to mimic mom and dad. As we talk about our relationship with God our Father, He wants us to be imitators of His as dear children. As dear children seek their father's, parents' example, they try to imitate. And again, we see the blessing that comes from that. But let's continue on. What about us? Let's talk about us as fathers. You know, we read that we're not supposed to provoke our children to wrath. And over in Ephesians chapter 6. If you'll turn there, Ephesians chapter 6, and verse 1 down to verse 4. You know, there are different roles, there are different responsibilities. You know, I look at this, I know that this responsibility, it goes to both. But I look at verse 4 in particular, and we'll read all four of these verses. But I look at verse 4 and think about that even more personally upon myself as my role as a parent to my children. First of all, to children, Paul says, obey your parents in verse 1. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. We're not to provoke our children to wrath. We're to teach our children about respect. You know, one of the things, Justine and I, we love it. It may have happened to you before, but we'll go out to eat every once in a while, and we'll go out, and all of a sudden, you know, some random person will come up to the table, and they'll just start saying, "Oh, your kids, they're just so well behaved. They did such a great job tonight." You know, and start talking about that. So we were one of the nights of our gospel meeting a couple months ago. We had to eat with one, and here someone comes over and starts talking. "Well, your children, you know, they were sitting at a different table, and we had other children as well. They're over there at this one table, and then all of a sudden here they all come towards us when we're getting ready to leave, and there's somebody sitting next. Your children are so well behaved. Not having a parent there and having them so well behaved and everything, you know, it's a good compliment. And I appreciate those different situations that come about. But we're to teach our children about respect. Not just kind of, both at home, within our family, when we're here together, when we're out in the community. You know, that's one of the things that I try to do my best at trying to teach my children about respect. This, of course, as we think about this, this isn't going to just automatically go and be ingrained in a child's head.
But it's a lost art that I think some people, a lot of people in the world today are struggling with. You know, I coach baseball. Got 11 kids on the team. And I know there's a couple of them. And I hear from the parents as well, my child rules the roost at home. You know, and you see that, I see that when I'm out there on the field with them. And then they try to cut a rusty with me or try to do something towards me, and I'm just, you know, I'm over there just looking at them, or y'all say something, kind of bring them back. You know, you're not going to treat me like that. But I see it going on where that's just, it seems like it's more and more of a trend. But the idea that children are in charge of home. They get the idea, you know, this is a hot button issue. But people don't want to discipline their children. When Corrigan was born, and when Ophelia was, and then Ophelia, it happened with Emily's, but when I had the first two. So, well, what do you do at home? What do you do if your kids get in trouble? What do you do? Well, I said, well, it kind of depends on the circumstances. Whether or not it's a spanking, whether or not it's sometimes it's privileges taken away. You know, there's different ways about doing it. And then when I told someone about you spank your children in today's... Yeah. Yeah. Well, what would happen if someone reported you? I remember when I was there in Indiana, someone was asking, there's a few of us around talking about this. And I asked, well, you know, would you spank your children? Well, if it needs it. I, you know, been known to smack a hand or swat a butt or whatever it might be. So what if you go to prison? Better I go to prison than my child grow up and be unruly. And then I had one of the ladies there and said, I like that response. I'll bail you out of jail if that ever happens. But people don't want to discipline their children today. But it's needed. You know, over in Proverbs, if we go back there, Proverbs chapter 22. And in Proverbs chapter 22, and we look at verse 15. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15. Proverbs 22, verse 15. It says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Again, a child does not know the ways. They are not going to know about it unless as parents or as guardians or whoever it may be, take the time to be able to teach them. Children are going to grow up. They're going to test the waters. But it says as well, the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Now some people have taken that verse, that part of the verse way out of context. Well, we need to be using whatever we can get our hands on. No. You don't have to. There's a difference. You know, some people say that spank a child is child abuse. There's a difference between disciplining your child and child abuse if you go that route. A lot of you have met my parents. I have tested the waters multiple times with my parents growing up. And when my dad was away working at times, he worked as an electrician in the summer a lot of times when I was younger. I'd test the waters with Mom, and then Mom would say, go pick your switch. Was I abused? No. My mom was trying to drive a point in me to help me understand. And she didn't want me to grow up in foolishness, but to know about respect, to know respect for community, for the law, most importantly to God. Both my parents took that role. You know, as we think about this, as fathers, we're not to provoke our children to wrath. Another verse that kind of points out similar things is over in Colossians 3, verse 21. We're to discipline, but not push them even farther away to the opposite. To try to bring correction, but not to try to do more harm. I mean, there is a balance between all of this, and that is to
We do not want to be turning our children away from being respectful, from being obedient. Over Colossians 3, verse 21, it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged."
You know, as I look at all these different verses, what I can understand is, me as a parent, is that we are to be active in our roles as parents. We're to be involved as parents. Fathers are supposed to be, or we're supposed to be involved, not put everything on mom, or not put everything on society or other types of meeting. If we are involved with our children, we're to be involved with them in all aspects of life. What better way for them to know God from hearing and trying to help and encourage our children to know the ways of God? As fathers, we have a huge responsibility to our children. We will see them struggle from time to time. That's a given fact. Such is a matter of life. But also we will see the triumphs in their lives. That is where we need to encourage them. Just this past week, and I might be using a little bit more personalness, but that's the way I'm looking at this lesson for tonight in particular. Just last week, Ophelia had been struggling. You know, they got these new tests for the third grade. If you've probably seen some of the ones in Ohio, it's a third grade guarantee. Got to be able to pass this huge state test in order to advance and in order to be able to go into the fourth grade. Corgan struggled with it as well, but eventually passed. But Ophelia, she had been struggling with that all year. And then had one more opportunity to take it before she'd have to take it again in the summer. And I was talking to one of the teachers in third grade for her, who was also on the baseball team, one of the moms on the team. I was talking to her at practice, and she came up to me, and I was talking to her and said, "We haven't heard anything about this test yet." Well, she came up and said, "You don't have to worry. There are only two kids that didn't pass, and they'll have to do the same." And Ophelia was not one of them. Seeing the struggle from the beginning in September all the way until now, you know, seeing that and then hearing that triumph that she passed. You know, we took her out. We rewarded her for her efforts. We're going to see that as parents in our life with our children. We need to encourage them when they have those triumphs. We need to uplift them and to instruct them when they have those fails, to try to get them to overcome those obstacles. But being there in all cases. The results of all this, we have an example of God. We have other examples in the Bible. But I wanted to look at God our Father, and then as well kind of a personal reflection on ourselves. The results of all this, if we are involved, if we are doing and seeing what the Bible has instructed us as parents to be able to be involved with, the results of this, the Son of God received these words from His Father. If you go over to Matthew chapter 17, you know, we have Jesus, who is the Son of God, come into the world. And you think about when Jesus was transfigured on the mountain, here in Matthew chapter 17, and we want to look at verse 5. Where it says, here's Jesus, He appears to Peter, James, and John, transfigured on the mount. Then you got Moses and Elijah, who were there as well. And then in verse 5, while He was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him." Here's God the Father speaking about His Son. The cloud from heaven, God said, "This is My beloved Son, whom I will hear Him." Jesus came and did His Father's will. He fulfilled all things and left us as an example to follow in His footsteps, as we read in 2 Peter chapter 2. But also, not only are we talking about God the Father and His Son, but what about for us? I want to look at three different verses. And if you'll go back to the Old Testament with me again in the book of Proverbs. I want to begin off looking at Proverbs chapter 10. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1.
Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. Proverbs 10, verse 1. Here's what Solomon has to say. He says, a wise son makes a glad father. So we think about that. A wise son listening to the instruction makes a glad father. We continue on with this thought over in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 20. Proverbs 15, verse 20. Again, it says here, a wise son makes a father glad. And then another verse over in Proverbs chapter 23. And we want to look at verse 25. Proverbs 23 and verse 25. Says, let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Through our upbringing, we're able to bring that joy to parents. For us as parents, or even, I forgot to mention, as future parents that are here tonight, through our upbringing, through us doing our part, being involved, we can be that glad father as well for our kids. Through helping and instructing, we can be a glad father. But it comes to us being active as fathers. And we can look to God in this capacity and need to. After all, in this life, it is Him who we are seeking. Again, we see the point and the need to be active. I hope as we look at this lesson just for a few moments tonight that we are reminded of what we can do and what we need to do as parents, being involved in our children's life. God the Father has left us an example that we can be able to follow and being able to follow in His footsteps through His Son, Jesus Christ. And again, I hope and pray as we look at this, we can see that God the Father has provided everything for us and has left us His Word and be able to understand more of our responsibility and our work to do in this life. But also in His Word, we read about the plan of redemption. We read about what He has done for us through giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. And His Son was willing to endure the things that He endured and to give us all hope and also give us all redemption if we are willing to seek those ways. If there's anyone that needs to respond to the invitation call tonight, we want to extend that to you. If there's anyone that needs prayers of encouragement or prayers of forgiveness on your behalf, we'll be glad to offer those also on your behalf tonight. Whatever the case may be, if there's anyone that's sent the invitation, let me know how we can assist you, how we can help you, how we can encourage you. And you can do it now. Walk together while we stand and while we sing.